You're listening to the Culips English Podcast. To download the study guide for this episode, which includes the transcript, detailed vocabulary explanations, real-world examples, and a quiz, visit our website, culips.com. C-U-L-I-P-S.com. Hey, everybody. My name is Andrew.
And my name is Morag.
And you're listening to Culips. Hey there, Morag.
Hey, Andrew.
What's happening?
Oh, not much. It's this summer. I'm on a little vacation, so I've decided to take up a new hobby.
I like it.
Yeah, I thought it would be relaxing, but it turns out I think I picked a difficult hobby. I decided to try to learn how to sew better.
Wow, how to sew. And sewing is the act of making clothes, right?
Yep. You can make other stuff if you like, but it's, really literally the act of putting together pieces of fabric with a machine. And that machine, I think, maybe hates me.
Sewing is really awesome, actually, and it's a skill that I really respect and would love to be able to do. But yeah, it sounds really hard and looks really hard. And is that your experience? Is it hard?
It's fiddly.
Fiddly.
Fiddly. It's an interesting word. Mm-hmm. But it's very particular. You can mess things up in so many amazing ways. Especially there's right sides and wrong sides to fabric, and there's weave to the fabric. So whether there's actually directions in fabric. Did you know this?
No, I didn't know that. There's a lot of things I don't know, especially when it comes to textiles. I think I know practically nothing. I could name maybe, I could tell you what denim is and what cloth is, and that's about the extent of my knowledge.
Well, I have dipped my toe into the world of textiles. Uh-huh. And let me tell you, it's much more complex than I would have expected, but who knows? Maybe I'll make something cool one day. Maybe our listeners already make amazing stuff. I'm sure somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Great idea, Morag. If any of you listeners out there are people who sew or are seamstresses or tailors, anything like this, feel free to send us a picture of your work through our email address, contact@culips.com, or through our Facebook page, because we would really love to see what you make. Okay, and now for something completely different. Today we're going to do a Chatterbox episode. Chatterbox is our series where we have 100% completely natural, unscripted English conversations, and we let you listen in. Today's topic for conversation is Canadian food. And just before we kick things off, I would like to remind everyone that there's a study guide for this episode available on our website, culips.com. It is an awesome thing to study English with, our study guides. We put a lot of effort into making these study guides for you guys so that you can improve your English and make your English sound more natural, more understandable, and more like a native speaker's. So if you visit our website, culips.com, you can get all the info you need to become a Culips member and study along with the study guide. All right, let's get started. It's time to talk Canadian food. because I live abroad, I don't live in Canada anymore. When I meet people for the first time, they're very curious about Canadian food. And a question I get asked often is, what's Canadian food like? Or what is Canadian food? So if somebody asked you this question while you were traveling, let's say, Marek, how could you answer it? What would you say? What's Canadian food?
I think I would default to explaining what sort of food is at restaurants that might be labeled Canadian Canada. And those aren't, well, they're actually reasonably common, but it usually means like family food, family restaurants, that kind of thing. So it's similar to American food in that it's like chicken fingers and like a roast dinner and
sandwiches.
Yeah. A lot of things in between bread with like fries on the side.
Yeah. I could say this is kind of maybe your basic Canadian fare.
Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't be gourmet. You know, it wouldn't be really fancy. If you go to a restaurant in Canada that's labeled Canadian, you will be getting some pretty simple food, but it's probably going to be like meat, a starch, and maybe a salad.
Mm-hmm. Potato or bread or salad. Yeah, so the answer that I give when people ask me about Canadian food, what is Canadian food like? And the answer I give is that Canadian food is international food. Because what I enjoy most about eating in Canada is that we really have every type of food from all over the world that is served somewhere in your city. So if you want Vietnamese food, you can probably find a really dope Vietnamese restaurant. If you want food from the Middle East, you could find a great Middle Eastern restaurant, or Indian food, Mexican food, whatever type of cuisine that you're into, you should be able to find in Canada, especially if you're in a bigger city. And so now that I'm living in Korea, this is one of the things that I miss, because, you know, Korean food is amazing. It's delicious. I actually think it's some of the best food in the world. But there are times, you know, that you want something else. Like, I love Mexican food, but there are no Mexican restaurants in the city that I live in. And it's a city that has over 1.5 million people.
Wow.
It would be unheard of in Canada to live in a city of 1.5 million people without a Mexican restaurant.
That's really true. I didn't realize that it was quite to that extent that we had so many different cuisines compared to some other countries. I definitely would agree, though, that the real Canadian food is a massive mixture of food from different cultures and countries. Because everybody I know grew up eating a different kind of food.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That kind of American, blandish, burgerish food that I was talking about before, nobody grew up eating that at home. Everybody would have different types of cuisine that they would have had from their grandparents.
More, Canada does have several unique foods, and it's a little bit embarrassing to talk about them because A, they're not amazingly delicious. B, they're not amazingly healthy.
If you're going to slight poutine, I'm not down for it. That stuff is delicious.
Well, I wasn't going to start with poutine, okay. But since you brought it up, let's talk about poutine. I love it. Don't get me wrong, but it's not something I could eat, you know, every day.
No.
But maybe you can describe the dish for our listeners.
Well, it's fries, usually kind of thicker cut fries, French fries.
Mm-hmm, French fries.
And then you have cheese curds, which are, I don't really know exactly how you make them, but they're squeaky little balls of soft cheese. And then...
Yeah, when you bite them and chew on them, they squeak. And so some people call them squeaky cheese.
Mm-hmm. And then a gravy. Exactly. Usually a meat gravy.
Right, which is like a sauce, right? A gravy is kind of like a meat sauce or a vegetable, yeah.
It can be, yeah. Oh, man, mushroom miso gravies. Ooh, so good. Mm. But all of those things together, making poutine, is it's specifically a Quebecois thing from Quebec. And it's delicious. Not healthy, but delicious. But if you come to Canada and you'd like to try poutine, do make an effort to visit somewhere in Quebec, because a lot of other places in Canada, when they have poutine, the cheese won't be correct. And the cheese is the most important part of it. If that cheese doesn't squeak,
really drives me up the wall when they just use grated cheese. And not the cheese curd.
Oh man, I go mental.
I mean, this is a pretty easy dish to make. There's only three ingredients, right? Really. And so why substitute one of them?
Especially the one that like really makes it unique. So yeah. But I'm interested because I can't really think of other specifically Canadian foods. I'm sure I'll know them, but nothing comes to mind. What were you gonna, what else you got?
Well, from your neck of the woods, Morag, there's the Nanaimo bar.
Ah, the Nanaimo right, bar. The Nanaimo bar, yes.
I know as a Vancouver Islander, you're quite proud of the Nanaimo bar, aren't you?
I hate them. They're a very, so for our listeners, they're a dessert. They're a small dessert rectangle. And
a square.
Oh, okay. Fair.
No, I think they actually call them a square, don't they? That type of dessert is called a square, I believe.
I think you might be right. And it has a chocolate layer on the top and then some sort of thick custard, something yellow in the middle. I don't know. It's way too sweet for me. I am not a fan.
Yeah. And it's a dessert that's usually served around Christmas time. And they're called the Nanaimo Bar because they were invented or developed in the city of Nanaimo, which is on Vancouver Island, which is close to Morag's hometown. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was teasing her about that. But yeah, actually I had a Nanaimo bar last Christmas for the first time in years, and I was blown away by how sweet they were.
They're really intense, but I also see people just eating them for an afternoon snack, a very irresponsible afternoon snack. They're just, oof.
Talking about sweet things, another really famous Canadian food is maple syrup. Maple syrup.
Oh man, how did I forget that? I put maple syrup in everything. It's true.
I actually use maple syrup in cooking, you know, in baking, as a substitute for sugar, because, you know, white sugar can be pretty terrible for your health. I don't know if maple syrup is honestly any better for you, but I pretend that it is, and I use that as a substitute.
It actually is more easily digestible by your body. So it
Perfect.
I mean, it's still sugar. Funnily, I have it in my coffee right now.
No way, in your coffee.
Yep, I put it in my coffee. I also put it in any kind, a little bit, in any kind of savory or spicy soup, stew, chili to balance out some of the spice. It usually like really brings flavors together. You should never be able to taste the maple syrup, but man, it actually goes in almost everything I cook. So I guess the things I make are very Canadian in that way.
A little Canadian touch. And yes. Of course, for those people who don't know, maple syrup is just a syrup that is made from the sap of a maple tree. And sap is the kind of liquid or juice that comes out of the tree. There's a whole big process about how it's made that I'm sure you could find just by searching on YouTube for maple syrup, but Canadians are proud of maple syrup. We feel like it's something that's ours, although Americans do make it as well.
Not quite as much, I don't think. Yeah. I think and the good stuff comes from here.
Yes. So if you're shopping, like here in Korea, I was shocked to find that there are lots of different types of maple syrup on the shelves in in Korean grocery stores. Like, not just one bottle, but there will be five or six different brands of maple syrup. And I always got to try and find the one that comes from Quebec, because that's the real stuff. The Vermont maple syrup can just... it can go get lost. I don't care for it. Looking for that Quebec maple syrup.
Oh, man. I just thought of another one.
Okay.
Smoked salmon?
Smoked salmon, yeah.
It's West Coast, so I think that they might do it in the northwest of the States, maybe. But... mm-hmm. I know that visiting family in the UK, that was something that they thought was more Canadian.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good point. There are certain seafood and meat products that I guess would be quite Canadian, right? Like you mentioned, on the West Coast, there's Pacific salmon. We eat that quite a bit and it's quite nice. On the East Coast, there's codfish and lobster. Mm. There's also, I've tried some more exotic game, like venison, which is deer.
I've had caribou.
Caribou. I've had caribou too.
And then also moose is delicious. I remember I had a moose borscht.
Oh, no
so
way.
Good. Yeah, so good. I would very much recommend it. I mean, it's not... that's, I think, also a very Canadian thing, because I only was able to have moose borscht because someone I knew went and hunted a moose and then made borscht.
Right.
You that's not something you could just get in a restaurant.
No, if you want to eat some... game meat, you have to hunt it yourself or be given it from a hunter. You, at least where I come from in Canada, it's, as far as I know, illegal to buy it at a store. It's not available to commercially sell. You have to be given it from a hunter or hunt it yourself. But I would say that that is a pretty Canadian food, right? Because these are Canadian animals and a lot of them don't live in other parts of the world. So this is probably the only place where you could try it.
Yeah. And so if you maybe ever get the opportunity to, I would recommend it.
Hey, Morag, we will wrap things up here, I think, because I'm hungry.
That makes sense.
All this talking about food made me hungry. So we'll leave it here for now, but remember to visit our website, qlips.com, and check out the study guides as well. We're on Facebook and Twitter. And if you use those platforms, look us up. And finally, if you'd like to send us an email, we can be reached through the address contact@qlips.com. contact@qlips.com. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.
The best way to study with QLIPS is by becoming a QLIPS member. When you become a QLIPS member, you will get full transcripts, detailed vocabulary explanations, and quizzes for each episode. Visit QLIPS.com. That's QLIPS.com to sign up and become a member.